Blog Talk Radio. Teim ukwa di songi li, vakna di kuidelige drenge, di høyre nykken på havet skri, for di eb sovet i for lenge. Teim ukwa di songi li, vakna de kuidelige drenge, de høyre nykken den heying hun, for de er sovet i for lenge. Nykken han tala til styringsmann, vakna de kuidelige drenge, Kriste land, for de er sovet i for lenge. Jeg vil meg på Kriste land gå, vakna de kuidelige drenge, den vene jomfrua vil.
Everybody, welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I am Golden Hawk, one of the stars of the show, and the other star of the show. Don't mind me, everybody. I just cracked myself up. The other star of the show is, of course, the enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hi there. Yay! Hello, everybody. I am probably more like a sun, and I'm actually sitting in the sun, which is so fun because it's so different than being at night doing a radio show. And what's so amazing is spontaneity has, you know, come our way, and Goldie goes, hey, let's do the show today in the afternoon. And I'm like, yeah. So here we are in the sunlight, and it's perfect.
We can see you, Ginny.
because it seems as though the synchronicity is just, you know, it's the following of it. It's not the thinking of it. And
right.
Yeah,
on.
And it's been incredible. Between not having the show last night because I was feeling a quantum transformation, as you were, which, by the way, doesn't surprise me now because of the, we both had dreams of suns, and I just posted a sun art on Goldie's wall on Facebook, and then I looked down below it, and she had just posted something about the sun, and I was like, oh, there, of course. So it's just incredible, really, and yeah, we're feeling the sun and the quantum transformation. So
we're feeling our suns, sun within our beings.
Exactly.
And
eternal.
I say that because an internal / eternal. Well, no, not eternal, because stars do die. Well, you know,
yeah.
I mean, that's the truth.
But
so
maybe,
the planets.
You know, this is a quantum thing, and it's just. What I love, too, is that we're both sensing so much. We're both experiencing mutual dreams and synchronicities. But what's even obvious is that there are times when we can't even verbalize it because it's really kind of like it's a language of its own. You know,
yeah.
Imagery, dreams, they're all languages to me. And, you know, we'll do our best to just stay with everybody and talk and explain.
Yeah, just feel today's show. Feel today's show.
Yeah.
I mean, and we say that about every show. But you know, because I was telling Janine, you know, the truth be told, Janine is definitely in a deep transformational process. I'm in a process as well. And we all know that we fluctuate from different depths of the process. And in Janine's process, you know, you can, well, you'll hear it, but, you know, you can feel it where, you know, she's different. And it's not a better or worse. She's just different because, you know, energetically, not even just energetically, but even physically, when the caterpillar goes into the cocoon and then, you know, does its thing as it's becoming a butterfly, think about how many transformational changes it goes through when, you know, it starts off as the caterpillar basically spins the cocoon, but there's clearly a time that whatever's in there is just, it's neither caterpillar nor butterfly. And, you know, that is essentially, I believe, where both me and Janine are right now. So, you know, that's why I was like, you know, if we can't describe it, you know, well, hell, shit. You know, I don't think, you know, it's okay. Because energetically, we are in that process, in that transformational stage. And I think from an energetic point of view, you know, let ourselves do the talking. Let the timeless spacelessness of, you know, non-linear sharing do the talking today. Because, you know, Janine told me she had the dream. We haven't done a show since you had that dream, correct?
Right, because I had a dream like midweek last week, and then
tell them about your dream, because you tell them yours, and then I want to tell them mine, if that's okay.
Yeah, it's great. But it was, you know, we did a show on Monday of last week, then midweek somewhere I had this dream,
the dream
early in the morning.
Right.
And then Thursday you did a show with someone else.
Nancy. Yeah.
And then last night we changed it because I had said, wow, I think I can't focus to even... I'll just be staring at the wall, and you'll be going dreams to me. So, so last week...
Which would have been fine, too, but it's all good.
I know. Yeah. Last week, sometime midweek, I think I went to bed pretty early. And somewhere early in the morning, I had this dream where I was on some landscape that, you know, it could have been Earth. I'm not really sure. I didn't think about it too much, but we were hanging. I was with a group of people, and there was like a big corridor, and we were. It was both indoors and outdoors. It was kind of hard to explain, but it wasn't necessarily an inside place or an outside place. And there was a long corridor that we were hanging art along, and the art was beautiful. Some of the art was done on big pieces of, like, you know, 10-foot by 6-foot glass, and images of beautiful, like a woman's figure with flowers in a light blue background, and you could see the light through the glass. So these were images painted on glass, and I was like, wow, they're beautiful. And then, so these were hanging on both sides all along, and then I noticed that a lot of my doorway art from my book, The Magic Gown, was also hanging, and I said, oh, the doorways are part of this. You know, whatever this was. And so that was just, you know, part of the dream. Then the next thing you know, I'm on a train moving, the train is moving, and I'm looking across a very vast landscape. And in the distance are these low-lying clouds, and it's kind of dark. It's like dusk-like or something. I don't see any evidence of a sun, like sunset or anything like that. And the clouds are moving in a completely anti-gravitational way, like they're like moving up really fast and going down really fast, and they would take shapes of like these beautiful figures and beings and just images, and I was just looking at them going, you know, well, that's not typical for clouds, you know. Then the next thing you know, I am standing in an open space And once again, I couldn't tell you whether it was an inside or outside place. So it was kind of both. And there was a globe in front of me that was a sun. It was an organic sun, you know, completely global or sphere-like, white,
okay.
All light, like a sun. And I couldn't feel any heat coming off it. And my son, who's a musician and quite an amazing individual, said to me, "Mom, walk into the sun, walk into the light there." And I heard him say that to me. And I don't know, after that, all I remember is kind of waking up, but not even in an abrupt way. I can't even tell you whether I did or not. It might even be immaterial, because I obviously feel like there was something to it, because the presence of that sun just stayed with me, and I felt as though, I had had some sort of presence or transformation or a new place, which is not, the first for me, but this was really, in some ways, I haven't had a dream of that kind of, what I would say, importance for a while. I've had these, but not this. And I never had a sun in front of me dream. And I'm aware of the great kind of metaphor of the internal sun we carry inside us. Mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking about it a lot, but it was a very important, effective, organic dream to me. And then I even told my son, and he was like, "Well, what do you think it meant?" And I said, "I think it's just moving into a new, amazing place." And I told Goldie, and that's about it. But then, I was just been feeling it. And lots of movement's been occurring now, and high energy, kind of edgy, but like I noticed kind of taking action alleviates that edginess. And then who knows, and then there are times like last night, I just knew, and that was a first for me when I called Goldie and said, "I don't think I should do the show." And she's like, "All right, let's, tomorrow night." So tomorrow night ended up being today, which I have to say, I'm going to stop saying, isn't that amazing? Because
never stop saying that.
No, but it is amazing, because
if you were saying unbelievable, I'd say, think about those words.
And
unbelievable.
I would say unbelievable, right.
And you haven't been. You've been saying amazing. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, because really the synchronicity, the parallel, the telepathic, it's incredible. And like, for instance, the fact that we're doing a show that we just decided to do like maybe 2 hours ago, how do you feel? Yeah, let's do it. I'm in the sun. I mean, that's new.
Yeah,
that's
I didn't realize that too.
Yeah.
That's your subtle awareness showing up. That's so awesome.
What?
Sorry, go ahead. I said that's your subtle awareness. You notice that. I don't even notice it until you say it. And then I'm like, wow, that's right. God.
So and I just posted this beautiful sun art that I created a long time ago. I shared it with Goldie. And then I noticed under this image, she had just posted something about the sun. And then you just had a sun dream last night. And
I did.
And then someone just shared, because I don't see it, but someone just shared that someone else had a sun dream.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is I wanted Janine to share hers. Now, let me share mine.
Yep.
And actually, Simon, if you're listening, if you have any insights, I mean, God bless. Simon lives in Norway. So, and the sun has just recently reappeared, from his perspective, after 4 months of darkness. Clearly, Simon, you've got a perspective on this too, right? If you can, type it under the radio one or under Janine's sun picture, and we'll read that on the air. Okay, so my sun experience was My Son Dream, this is what I remember from it. I was looking at the sun. It was definitely, because one thing I'm noticing too, the sun is now white. It is no longer yellow orange. The sun is white now, and that
and
was very
dream,
clear
it was
to
white.
Me. Huh?
Yeah.
In your dream,
in my
it was
dream,
white
it
as
was
well.
White. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I believe that's significant.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of the, you know, the vzz, vzz, vzz of the sun amping up. It's like the hydrogen energy of the sun kicking up its heels. So anyway, so I was looking at the sun, and it was growing. I mean, it was growing and expanding significantly. And I basically, like in the dream, kind of heard this, not from anything in particular. Maybe it was myself. That's probably what it was. Don't be afraid. You're going into it. You know, in other words, it's going to engulf me, but, you know, that's what you want. Don't be afraid of that. But what was so interesting is I also, like Janine, I saw it was like I was looking at the sun and then I shifted my perspective and simultaneously I could see clouds doing a formation that was just, to be quite honest, just unearthly. I saw dramatic abstract colors, browns, grays, dark purples, blues, in the cloud formation. And it wasn't just like a still picture. All of it was in motion. I mean, it was all so dynamic and moving and alive. And it was like I could see dramatic weather patterns that were, and it was kind of like, oh, you know, it was almost like I could see what was going on over the earth, you know, the surrounding part of the earth. So it was like I was in the middle. I could see the sun getting bigger, and I could look at another direction and see the weather going on earth. And when I woke up, I mean, it was a simultaneous knowing that, the sun expanding is my own light body getting bigger. Hence, don't be afraid of it. I was almost seeing the inside of myself. Oh, and I got to mention something afterwards. Okay, so the sun was my light body expanding. The cloud formation and the weather patterns were the releasing of my mental and emotional processes and belief systems. Mm. And, you know, the very interesting thing about this, too, is just yesterday, you know, when me and Janine were talking on the phone, was it the conversation we had when we decided not to do the show? It might have been the one before that, because I think that conversation was a little brief, you know, for obvious reasons. You were calling to say you were tired.
Yeah.
Anyways, it doesn't matter what conversation was. I had just said to Janine that, you know, my new question to the universe and my I Am presence is I want to know specifically what's going on in my galaxy, what's going on in my solar system, what's going on the planets that are physically, I'm the being and the essence of, you know, because, you know, George K. talks about that we're all planetary planets and stars. And by the way, Jay, the sun is the star, it's a star. So when I introduced us as stars, it
right.
was introduced
no,
as
no,
the
I
sun.
Know. I, yeah, yeah.
Right, okay,
great.
Okay.
Stars and stars, suns.
Yeah, we are. I mean, exactly. Even though maybe star is the masculine and sun is the feminine, that might be, I don't know.
No, well, I think they're both the same, you know. They're just for us. I mean, when in my dream, if you were to say, what is that? I wouldn't have said it's a star. I would have said it's a sun. So that it was, although a sun is a star.
Right,
but,
exactly.
Yeah.
I see, but right, that's your, right, you're the way you would say, because me too, it's since George came around that I have really taken an interest, so to speak, more planetary and more, I mean, I've had some things, because I told you a couple of years ago, I was like, you know, if what's within me is without me, you know, on the outside, well, what part of, what's happening inside me when I see a supernova? I mean, I asked that question and
yeah.
basically received the message that that is self-actualization. you know, on some level, it's like an aha moment, you know, on steroids.
So, and you know, it's interesting, just a little piece of like the things that I noticed that you'll appreciate, that who told me to walk into my son was my son. Which
that was
S-O-N, but it's S-U-N too, you know, so that I always think there's plays on words, there's plays, you know, plays on everything. And
there is plays on everything. I agree.
And
the woman, okay, so Churn Freely, who is one of my friends on Facebook. Wait, I got to get down to the thing. Churn Freely goes, where is the picture? Well, she basically just said that she's taking care of like an 80-year-old gentleman and 82-year-old man, and he had the same dream last week. Actually, it was while he was in meditation. And she just posted that like, you know, 5 hours ago, but I just read it like 3 minutes ago. I didn't realize she posted it. Well, I think the important thing to realize, you know, when Churn said that is, listen, this is literally, because me and Janine were clear when we had this, this was not a dream. Anybody who's had visions and or outer body experiences, you know, galactic connections, you know, it might happen in the sleep state, but it's not a dream. You really know the different frequency between a dream and a vision. You know, the sun I saw expanding is actually me traveling to the part of the galaxy or whatever, the part of the cosmos where my sun is expanding. That's the truth. Due to the work that I'm doing on planet Earth, I am affecting the sun in that I saw, and it's affecting the planet that was around it. You know, this is it's really, you know, I know it sounds metaphorical, but that's not how I see it. I see it as, you know, the soul takes you anywhere, you know, you intended to find out. Well, here, I'm going to take you there. And when that happens in your dream state, you really feel it differently than when it's quote unquote just a dream. And
yeah,
I'm not saying that dreams don't
experience.
Well, that's what, that's what, it's a visceral experience differently. Yeah. It's felt differently than a quote unquote just a dream. So, yeah.
Oh, definitely. But I've had those dreams where, you know, they're multidimensional. They're, you're somewhere and you're experiencing them. I mean,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Your eyes might be closed, but you're awake in another place. You know what I mean? You're,
yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's exactly
interesting to see if
right on.
That's
Dave.
Three
that's
people in 1 week, you know, that maybe the sun, which is really the internal sun, is appearing to people, your own internal sun, which
yeah,
it's funny because I've been talking about, I have a really, I don't know, I have an affection for anything, and it's not like I'm a sun person. It's just, I don't know, even George is really connected me to the fact that the sun is just this plasma consciousness, alive being, and I loved that, you know, and obviously it's mirrored within ourselves, and so it was I don't know, it was just a very powerful dream that I feel like, you know, you got tweaked or something.
Yeah.
You know, and
I agree. Cause I do feel tweaked by it.
You know, telepathy and intuition and empathy and kind of, you know, just, you feel something, you say it, you send people things and you're connecting with them. And matter of fact, 2 days after this dream, I get this beautiful package in the mail of like an extension of what would be probably considered initiation art given to me, which is a new twist on initiation art, I think. How you can literally have someone.
This is what happens when a lot of people are, you know, you share the initiation art process with people. So now they're sharing
it
back.
Reciprocated.
Yeah, exactly.
And as you know, and that's, exactly right, because it's a giving and receiving constant, and the telepathy and the empathy and the sharing. And so I get this beautiful package from a lovely girl named Poppy, young woman, a girlfriend of my son, who told me to go into the sun. She sent me a little gold key wrapped in magenta fabric, and she said, "Janine, here's the opening of new doors of endless possibilities." And now that was a total surprise, just like the dream. And, you know, those things hold a lot of meaning to me, because that is truly the good stuff. You know,
yeah, it's the priceless stuff.
Yes, it's just the, you know, when I say the small is big, and this is the magical, the mystical, and the connection, you know. So, it's really happening.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's really happening, everybody. I lie at night, you know, with this like silly grin on my face that life is becoming imagination based and leaving logic. Mm-hmm. And in all of my wildest dreams, to have it actually here in this dimension, you know, showing up as it is, it is just, I can't even tell you how light filled I become with that. And, you know, and I'm not talking about that bullshit light, you know, that fake crap light. Pardon me, all you light workers out there.
No, it's kind of like the light that the, you know, of the warrior.
It's an illuminosity. It's an illuminosity. not cotton candy.
Wait, it's not, what did we say? It's not from what oven? Little Chef.
Oh, there it is. Yes, you got that. Okay, right. Janine, here is the difference. The light that I speak of is from the sun, you know, that we're speaking of right now, this incredible, you know, ball of hydrogen, you know, hydrogen and oxygen and whatever, you know, colliding and creating solar flares, and, you know, literally can be seen through hundreds of light years away, as opposed to an easy bake oven that through a light bulb cooks a little cookie.
This is no easy bake oven deal. This is no easy bake oven.
That is not the light I am speaking of.
Yeah.
I love it.
So it's like warrior, or you know, it is. It's really the willingness to step into that hot kitchen and, you know, go through it, go through the stuff, and, you know, tenacity,
the
perseverance.
Soulful stuff. Yeah, the virtuous
faith,
stuff. The
yeah,
stuff we're
not
talking
not
about.
Denying
yeah.
anything. Of our darkness, you know, it's the irony of it all that, like, you know, in the darkness and facing all that and not suppressing any of it and, you know, embracing it, not feeling shame about it and realizing, you know, this is when the sun shines.
Should we sing the song? What was the song from the Flintstones? Let the Sun Shine In. Remember Little Pebbles sang it to Bam Bam?
No, but
all right, I'll calm down.
It.
Yeah, okay. If not, I'll end up singing it, so you might want to find Pebbles' version. Listen, I want to read Simon Cher, because
okay.
he posted it. And okay, this is how Simon feels after going for 4 months without seeing the sun.
Okay.
What happens to me after 4 months of darkness, when the sun finally shows up, I can usually feel it a few days ahead before she actually appears. This happens every year. It's a very unique feeling of anticipation and atmosphere. Now, when she finally, when she finally peers over the mountain ridge and I can see and stand in the light waves touching my face, it's almost like if you go a long time without drinking any water. That feeling when you can finally drink again, it's ecstatic. It's very normal for people who are not accustomed to go so long without sunlight to slip into depression, because of the lack of sunlight alone. That's my share. Questions? If we have questions, yeah. Simon's here to answer. Thanks, Simon.
Wow.
That was awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, I love it when he talks about the water because, you know, you can really feel like, you know, there is a quenching, you know, like the body really, you know, it is clear because there is depression doesn't surprise me that, you know, people go into depression. People go into depression around here, and it's just it's limited sunshine. You know, I mean, we're still getting sunshine on a daily basis. But during the winter months when we have less sunshine, you know, about – I'd say a good, I mean, well, shucks. In the summertime, it's 9 o'clock. In the wintertime, it's 4 o'clock. So that's 5-hour, you know, difference of no sunshine can affect a person's mood and stuff. So, you know, 4 months of, you know, dusk without, you know, without a high noon sun, it's like, I mean, that's deep.
Yeah, that is. And that's so foreign.
That's deep. And that, yeah, Simon, me and Janine were talking the other day saying, how we really can't, we need you to do your, we can't comprehend it because it's not our experience. So I love that you're sharing because I wouldn't know what it feels like to go 4 months without the sun. Because me and Janine were talking, if I ever came to Norway, which by the way, I'm thinking of doing, okay, just putting it out there, Simon, would I want to go, you know, during the sun part? Where you can see the whole, you know, landscape of Norway and all the beauty of it. Clearly, that's an option, of course. You know, but I was like, oh, but exploring my dark. You know, like, go someplace for 5 days and it never gets light. You know, and it's winter and it's cold. You know, it's like, huh, you know, that, you know, coming from, you know, a poster child for the dark, there is some, you know, interest in that aspect as well. I mean, I wouldn't say, oh, definitely not. I wouldn't say that at all. It's like, I don't know which one I'd want to do. So,
yeah, well, if someone would say, well, how was Norway? What did it look like? You'd say, I don't know.
I know.
I know.
I don't know. Check Google. That's so funny. I never thought I'll get night goggles. I'll find out.
You know, I was just thinking that, you know, yesterday, you know, when, you know, you think about it now in retrospect, just like I didn't know until about 5 that I had no, you know, I didn't know that I was going to call you and say, wow.
Right.
And that was really like just a knowing about calling, and because it wasn't a thought process prior to that. But what was interesting is during the day, up until the point where I did a therapy session, which then it lifted, my eyes were so achy and tired and like not in pain. They were more like aching. And I, very unusual, like I was like, what is that about? You know, and who knows? It definitely is a cellular thing too. That, you know, the transformation is physical as well. So, you know, who knows? I mean, the visionary quality, the vision quality, the central nervous system, definitely something was affected. And then I remember I sat down to do a therapy session with someone, and this person said, okay, I want to start with 2 dreams. And I said, great. You know, and I really enjoy doing dream work with people because, as this client reminded me, what Carl Jung said, when someone went to Carl Jung and said, can you help me? And he said, well, I'll know from your dreams, so start telling me your dreams. And it was so amazing that, and, you know, Carl Jung had many a experiential life in dreams. It wasn't just, messages
clearly
from your unconscious. These were experiences. But, it was funny that when this person started telling me their dreams, whatever exchange was going on between us, which is really what therapy is, my eyes completely didn't hurt anymore. I just, of course, you just go with it. But it was like, what, you know, I'm starting to realize that, you know, something's going on that is far beyond what my understanding was before. And I'm going with it. But, like, what was that about? You know, there was an exchange. And next thing you know, my eyes don't hurt anymore. I don't know. I'm also noticing that prior to doing something, I'm already feeling some organic, cellular something going on before. And I'm going, wow, it's like the energy before the experience that my body already knows that, you know, so I'm learning a lot right now. And the body, like you've been talking about this, but the body is talking to me, you know, I'm just like paying attention almost like, oh, okay. You know, oh yeah, I feel that. And then I'm connecting what that is. And it's mostly there's an anticipatory thing going on. Like, it's like letting you know. And it's so interesting because, you know, nothing better for someone like anyone who's curious about everything. You're onto something new because it's really fun, you know. And so these are kinds of things I'm noticing. And I was trying to think, what was it? Because I was really feeling something. And I was like, what is that? And then something happened. I went, oh, yeah, and that's what I was feeling. It was like I can't remember. It will come to me, but
okay.
Yeah, same with the therapy session. I was like, really distinctly.
Oh, the eyes. You were saying the eyes stopped turning.
Yeah, but there was another situation where I had this feeling, and that it was like a pre thing, and then whatever it was, I did, and then I got it. I was like, oh, I was sensing it, you know. So that's something new going on at a deeper level for me. You know?
Yeah, right. Okay, so linear time is becoming more circular.
Yeah, and my body's really feeling things, you know, and letting me
definitely.
Know.
Definitely. That's what I want to talk about, too. Okay, good. Because that was, that's what I've been getting lately. Oh, and I had an insight. I had an insight this morning, and I was like, it's so funny. It's before I even knew we were going to do the show today from a conscious level. You know, I was going to type it, and I was like, I was thinking, I'll just talk about it on Thursday when we do the show on Thursday. Anyways, so I was in the shower, and it hit me, right? So after I'm done showering, Scott's shower is awesome. It's this serious pounding of water. At my dad's house, the shower just dribbles. I mean, it's so, you know, it washes your physical body, but it's like, unless it's pounding on you, it really doesn't feel like it gets to your muscles kind of thing.
Yeah.
So after I'm done, I let it pound on like my back and my shoulders, my chest, and you know, all of a sudden it hit me because I was letting it pound on my head, and I was like, because when the water goes over my ears, you know, it really takes me away sensorially, you know, because it's like the water, you know, over my ears gives that sound like you're underwater, and it's kind of like that echoey, that sound like you're in some kind of, yeah, like you're underwater, you're encompassed in something.
Yeah.
But then I turned around and let it hit on my heart chakra, and I went, oh, my God, 4 out of the 5 senses are in our heads. And the ascension is happening through the one sense that's throughout the whole body, touch, and or sensing, and or feeling. Mm. And I went, so as it's coming into my heart, I might not have the sensorial experience like I'm someplace else and all these things are happening, because the way the conditioning has us is all it has to go through our head in order to be interpreted in this dimension.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Hearing, smelling, tasting, seeing, all of that is in the head. And I was like, oh, my God, this is why trust is so important, because if you're bringing it through your head, you're actually kind of taking it out of the the experience of it it's a matter of what I'm learning to do is learning to let myself see through my cells, hear through my cells, smell through my cells, not through just the quote unquote organs that have been you know, located. My nose is for smelling, my eyes are for seeing. You know, it's like, because I've already seen Gianvallo Melchizedek. I used to have a video where they would blindfold these kids and they put their feet on newspapers. They could read the newspaper through their feet, because essentially what they knew was they knew the site of their cells. You know, it's multidimensional living. It's high definition living. Hands down, it's what's coming. You know, and or what's here. Clearly, I mean, I watched that video in 2002. It's what's available to all of us. But for me, what part of my fun of the process is, you know, comes. It's ironic. It comes into my head as an intelligence, and then it's like, okay, so where I kind of like always went for, let me let the water run over my head because I wanted to hear it differently, or I wanted my third eye to open up.
Yeah.
Where now, just from an intelligence, I'm like, no, go over your heart, Goldie. Open up that space. Because you might not know it now. You might not be cell-directed now, but it's what you're doing. So I bet you if you just keep doing that, inevitably, through trust, I'll start knowing that that's happening. Through my cells, not through the five senses in my head. You know, so.
Yeah. These are those moments where, you know, you start noticing, paying attention, and knowing differently, where you're right. It's not, you know, the antiquated, I mean, not to say that thinking isn't, you know, really important, but this is just different, you know. I mean, as you and I both know, we call them the blue bowl moment, where, you know, I have this beautiful giant blue bowl that's gorgeous, that's empty, which reminds me of like the open space to let in the new. And the only reason I have this blue bowl is because on the first day of starting my therapy practice in this new office, my first client canceled, you know, and I was like, oh, okay. So for some reason, I got in my car and I started driving south, and I really didn't even know where I was going. I was totally with clarity. It wasn't like I was in some haze or anything, but I wasn't thinking. But I pulled into this parking lot of this store that sold, you know, very high-end household stuff, and I walked. And why I went there, I have no idea. And
Not consciously,
but these are Goldie and I now call them, oh, that's such a blue bowl moment, because the blue bowl is right here. It's really beautiful. I'll take a picture.
There you go. Right on. Awesome.
It's the color, you know, everything about it. It's like a pottery-looking art piece, but it symbolizes exactly what we're talking about here. And so anyway, I'm looking around the store, and I hear someone talking in the back of the store, like somewhere inside where customers don't go. And I'm looking around, and I see this beautiful blue bowl, like just sitting on a table. And I'm like, wow, that is beautiful. You know, because, I mean, I'm an artist. You know, my art's pretty. I have an office, and I'm going, wow, that is beautiful. And so... this person comes out who was the person on the phone, and they see me looking at the blue bowl, and they go, isn't that beautiful? And I'm like, yeah. And then they said, well, can I help you? And I said, no, I'm not really. I don't know. I'm just looking for a therapy office. I have a therapy office. He goes, oh, are you the decorator? And I'm like, no, I'm the therapist. He goes, I need a therapist. Did you just hear me on the phone? Sit down. Can I talk to you? And I'm like, he goes, that was the hospital. I was talking to, I need a therapist. And I was like, okay. And he goes, oh, so, and it was instant. He was my first client. And now I bought the blue bowl because, it was just, I had to. It was the connection. And it symbolizes everything to me about this way. And, these are, these are just more and more, you know, even if you look at that book from long ago, The Celestine Prophecy, it spoke of these ways of starting to
okay,
feel.
That was already mentioned today. That's so funny. Okay, so that was...
Yeah,
it's
the way of feeling things, of noticing things, of paying attention differently, of, there would have been many blue bowl moments in the book, as there were, you know, where,
right.
You know, where do I go, left or right? You know, something tells you, whether it's a bird.
Yes.
Or, you know.
Yes.
In fact, it is fun, by the way, and as everyone...
Amazing.
Right, it is, and it's another, like you said, it's HD. It's high definition.
Yeah, it is high. It is. I'm telling you, you can see the pixels on other people's skin. I mean, but... You know, the truth of the HD is like, for me, I mean, part of one of, you know, the picture clarifiers is I am so clear when, you know, someone's not telling the truth. I mean, it is so, I mean, it's just, it stares at me now like, you know, in neon. You know, it used to be subtle and I would feel it in my belly, but
yeah,
I mean, I can now, and it's, you know, listen, you know, everybody lies for one reason or another. This isn't about,
yeah.
You know, pointing out that someone's a liar. This is about having the clarity. If I have the clarity to see when deceit is in front of me, that is the gift that, for me, is very important, because I've been worried about deception basically since George Cavassos came into my life, that, you know, somehow I could be deceived and might be
right.
Going, you know, on a different soul journey that's going to take me off the planet into, you know, the Galactic Federation of Light. And I get it that, you know, other people might worry about being deceived in other ways, but that's my fear. And that fear has been eliminated through the clarity of the sun, you know, which is through my own inner journey. It's because I really believe that, you know, ultimately, any of us that have experienced being deceived, and I believe that's all of us,
mm-hmm.
we experience it because we're lying to ourselves.
Yeah.
That's where everything stems from within, everything. So it's not to say that I'm not lying to myself anymore. I mean, if I'm still lying to myself, liars and liars, thieves and cheats will still be a part of my life. But I'll be honest with you, if anything, I'm just getting a clarity. And like I said, it's not about pointing out these people. It's really more about seeing it in myself that, wow, I can see this now. So it's kind of like the conclusion I'm drawing is because I'm being more honest with myself. And like I can tell you, one of the big things that has come up with is the whole idea that for me to get to the fifth dimension, I was trying to do it mentally.
Mm.
You know, everything was, you know, a construct of, you know, build the Merkaba, and I know I always go back to that, but it's true. Build the Merkaba, breathe, you know, 13 breaths out and 14 breaths in, and, you know, you have to sit a certain way, you have to do it every day, you have to be on a time schedule, you have to call in, you know, Saint Germain, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And the truth is, that's essentially a form of a lie, that I would need anything to be called into me to get me to the fifth dimension. I already exist in the fifth dimension, an aspect of me. And I think what's actually happening is, as I gather my pieces and integrate the pieces of me from the third and the fourth dimension, it literally, that integration takes the third and fourth dimension density or heaviness and transmute it into a buoyancy that it's just naturally bringing me up to the fifth dimension. You know, that just seems to be, I don't have to try to do this. I don't have to feel that I'm not, because it's so funny, facing my dark stuff and integrating my pain is what is making me lighter and buoyant to physically have experiences like watching my son getting bigger in the dream and being able to look at the total storm and wild weather patterns without fear. I didn't have fear in this dream when I was in the dream or vision, and I didn't have fear when I woke up, when I came out of it. It was like I had clarity. You know, and I don't, there could have been a time where that dream could have been considered, quote unquote, a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't.
Yeah, no, that's because, yes, it's because that fear base of, you know, even not trusting what you've created or what's internal, it's just diminishing. It's, you know, ever since you cleaned those windows.
Well, wait a minute, though. Let's go to something a little more current, because, see, now you're walking through the sun and you're facing something big. I don't want to bring it up unless you want to bring it up. But,
oh, no,
you know,
bring it up.
Yeah, I figured you might, because I think it's important. I think other people have this going on. You know, the whole well, you share. I don't want to bring it up. You bring it up, and then I'll.
Are we talking about? Wait, there could be so many things here. The taxes.
Uncle Sam. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. Well,
exactly.
The organizing, the getting together, the feeling of, oh, did I do it right? Is it okay? Yes, a very insecure, unsettling, nervous. It's like, you know, it would be another equivalent would be, which is ridiculous, I'm a really good driver, but it would be like going to the DMV and you have to take the driving test and you know I'm going to fail. You know, those are those kinds of things, like, or taking a test at school. I'm going to, you know, that uncomfortable,
wait,
nervous.
Is that what you were afraid of?
No. These all go together for me because as a kid, I didn't like school and all the false things they put on you because it felt really unnatural to me. And it wasn't my way of living. And so, you know, I think if you follow the deep, like the seed or the thread of why, you know, because it doesn't make, when something doesn't make sense, like it's not really a true reality as to why it would cause me so much anxiety or thinking about it and dreading it, because that's a good word, dreading it. It doesn't make sense. It's not reality. There's nothing that I've done that should cause that. It's just some weird.
Let me ask you a question. I want to interrupt you for just a sec. Were you ever considering not doing your taxes?
Probably not, because it's not. By the way, it's not about paying, because this, you know, I don't make that enough to make, this isn't like, oh my God, and I don't have the money. That's not even, that has nothing to do with it. It's the compliance. It's the getting the stuff together. People have, I would say that, you know, and this could, by the way, this could even go back to a strange fear of the dark. I mean, fear is not necessarily rational, and in fact, most cases it's not. You know, yes, if you know, in the old days, if you're living in the land and you're worried, you know, a tiger's going to eat your family, I can understand that. But
Victor.
But modern women's fears aren't necessarily rational. They're because, you know, for me, and I'm only using myself as an example, because I have such a tendency to gravitate towards the uncivil, like the woods, and you know, I'm not really looking for artificial constructs. They're nothing aesthetically beautiful about them to me. You know, so probably I'm such a person not drawn to. You know, it's like some people, you know, they have their notebooks and their receipts and they get off on it. It's like, oh, look how it worked. I just go, ah, you know.
Yeah, I got you.
I don't lose things. I'm not, you know, I'm good. Like someone said to me the other day when they went to buy a book, they said, you are so organized, because they were in my studio, and I am. That's the irony. I am telling you, it's not rational fear. It's something else. It's strange. It's like it's something inside of me that, you know, it brings it up where I was even saying, and this is really beautiful. I noticed things where I go, I was running one morning. This was was this before the sun? This was probably before the sun. So
okay.
This is before the sun dream. You know, I was running in the woods, and I'm thinking about the stupid getting the stuff together taxes. And once again, I'm telling everyone, it's not about paying them. It's about, there's something about the getting.
Doing them.
Yeah, it's just the inconvenience and the annoyance, and it's like, ugh. But so I'm running, and I'm going, wow, this is bothering you so much. And this isn't new, but it's like, I really wish I had a therapist I could talk to this about, because there's something there for me. And the next thing you know, I get home, and I'm still in even my running clothes, I think. I even might have called you on my way home. But next thing you know, we're talking about this, and I'm realizing, wow, Goldie's my therapist here. This, I got what I asked for. This is fabulous. You know, and we really talked it through, because these are important places to sort of go, you know, go for it. Keep going. What's bothering you about it?
Yeah.
Why don't, you know.
Look in it. Yeah.
Why would you want anything sort of having itself over you? You know, so, you know, we
right.
kept talking.
Right.
And talking. And,
right.
and Goldie even said, Jay, you don't have to pay him if you don't want to. You know, that's like, that's a total okay scene, you know. And I knew that.
Right.
And then she said, you know, and then a couple of days later she goes, just so you know, you could pay your taxes too, you know. And my eyes all welled up with water just because I knew.
I love you.
She just wanted me to know either way was fine. And
yeah.
I knew that, but it was really nice to hear that. And it was like a big love gush. I was like, oh, what a loving thing to say, you know. And oh, so anyway. You know, you really have to pay attention as to why these kind of, quote, ridiculous things do work us, but there's
okay.
something
okay,
there.
Okay, wait, I got to interrupt. I got to interrupt.
Yeah.
Yes, but listen, it's not ridiculous.
No, but, well here's
that's
the irony.
A judgment. That's a judgment.
No,
that, because
okay.
it's significant when you're running and you're not at peace. Is that not significant?
No, but, for me, the irony is because I later on when we really made some headway with me, I laughed and said, so, Goldie, do I really need to say thank you to the IRS here? I really got, you know, I went deep into my process and I really uncovered some, you know, and so we were laughing. Yeah, because
we were.
You never know what it is that will hold, like even what came in the mail for me, what will hold a key to a new
yeah.
place or an opening? What is in the way? What does it represent? You know, what is it? Because, you know, I was told once by a very smart person, you know, Janine, do you know that like 97% of your fears are totally irrational and will never really materialize? And, you know, I needed to hear that because I was like, wow, she's right, you know? And
yeah.
this was another case of like artificial, it was real to me. But it had no relevance, truly, in my life in terms of, like, it wasn't like, you know, they were knocking on my door going, you're in trouble. It, there's no reality there. There isn't. So there was something deeper, greater, and the funny thing is that it was after this work, and I do believe that there's a certain confrontation of these places that do maybe have locked doors, or you know, open them up, swing them open, jump in there, go look.
No,
you know,
think
what,
about that. Right, segregation, compartmentalization.
Yeah,
that is all
yeah.
what the IRS is about, and that there's nothing about that in the Ascension. Nothing about that. It's blow open all your chakras. It's time
right,
to be aware.
Here's the funny thing about these mysterious. You know, places where similar to, you know, what just flashed for me is similar to when Golden Hawk kind of we worked together, very similar to how I did it with her about this. You know, she got this vision of herself at 4 years old, okay, behind the couch. Well,
yeah.
I can tell you that one of the really truly molded in my conscience is, that fourth grade, I'm in fourth grade, and they give you those tests to test your IQ. And see, I think all of this man-made artificial, this is what you do because you're part of this construct. I was so disturbed and offended by that test that, you know, I bet you no other kid in the class felt the way I did, but I was so like, ugh, what are they, this is awful. What is it? I thought it was like an insult.
An insult. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I felt insulted by it. I was like, yeah, I'll fit the triangle in here. Yeah, I was like, yeah, that goes in there. Mm, sure. Yeah, I was just like, you know, I wasn't going to give them what they wanted because I was insulted that, you know, so who knows? For all I know, you know, this could be that fourth grade girl being insulted by the IQ test.
Wait a minute. Do you know or do you not know?
Oh, I would say I know.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Not for all I know. See, because this is the language. And when you make nothing ridiculous but everything relative, everything, you know, because how about when people used to say use your imagination or when you were daydreaming, don't be ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous and daydream. Remember, life is becoming, we're not going to separate the dream state from the waking state. It is literally a continuous motion.
Yeah.
And that's when the ascending body is the feelings. The feelings you were getting around the IRS and paying the taxes are significant to now we're going another level down, another floor down. This floor goes into the relevance of logic, of intellect, and how in our culture that is heavily, heavily valued, and the imagination is not.
Yeah.
Even though, boy, when you look at Hollywood, I believe that is a clear space. The imagination is highly valued, and it's along with, you know, the intellect in the sense of, you know, I'm sure they're writing contracts on, you know, intellectual property contracts. But I'm just saying, you know, if know thyself is the ultimate goal, there is no feeling is ridiculous. None.
Well, you know,
it helps you know yourself.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, for me, there's what's the opposite of dignification? Like dignity, or I thought that those tests were so undignified. You know, I really did. I mean, as a kid, I was not obviously, as people perceive children, just sit here and do the test. It was like, you know, who are you talking to? You know, like, no, I'm not doing your stupid test. And you know, I know who I am, and you're not.
Did you do the test, or did you not do the test? Did you?
Yeah,
did
no,
you
I didn't. I did it. I did it very like they probably went, wow, she. You know, I deliberately put, you know, things in other. You know, they were like, fit these pictures together, and I didn't try at all because. So he maybe.
Okay,
I
so wait, and is that the way you do your taxes? Do you do your taxes where you're just filling in boxes to keep them happy?
Oh, no, because I have help, because I have three different companies, and I need help to do it because it's complicated.
That's where the friction is. The friction is in your belief, you're forced to put energy into it, where at four, you honored yourself
grade,
and said, I'll do the
grade.
Or fourth grade. In fourth grade, which you're basically five, you're nine.
Like nine.
You basically at nine. You went, well, listen, I'll pacify you because I'll put the box. I'll fill in boxes, but fuck you. It's not going to be what I really feel. And but you're not allowed to say that with taxes, especially in the belief.
Well, you know. I mean, yeah. So, but the truth is, now with like the, you know, this. I mean, there is a certain compliance, but it's. It's not a big deal. It's just it held. I don't believe it holds. It doesn't hold it for me anymore after you and I discussed it. And then, you know, I really pushed it. And then, you know, I asked for the therapist and then you showed up, which is perfect. Just like, and then
I'm still,
you know,
here. Sorry.
And then we were really funny because I was like going, well, who would think that the IRS was one of my, you know, activators that would, you know, lead me down the path. And then of course, because those things are all funny to me and ironic. And then you know, then there was the sun dream, you know, and, you know, my confirmation yeah. of, you know, your natural genius, inner sun knowing, you know, is just, it's just there. And it feels really good, you know. And so, yes, the IRS, the taxes, and I would say, you know, I have an accountant who's wonderful. I mean, truly, like, you know, she's wonderful. And, you know, she really, like, she knows that I was like, she's like, what's wrong? You know, for years, she's like, what is wrong with you? Will you stop it? So I'll have to relay this whole story to her because it's great. It's a great story, really, you know? I mean,
well, it's the journey. This is what we do. I mean,
yeah.
See, I really give you credit, A, for talking about this on the air. I give you a lot of credit because that's until you do it, it can be, it's invigorating as all hell. I know from doing it, but until you do that, you know, these are private things becoming public things now.
Well,
and
you know, it's so great. So, okay, so in 1991, when, like, this is how, you know, beautiful and timeless experiences are, you know, that truly are all connected, because I always think, God, it was 1993 when I found that magic gown or the gown in that riverbed, because I chose to do a vision quest because I knew I was going to be scared to be alone in the dark for, back then it was 2 nights and 3 days in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
So there I am, and I'm, you know, from that comes this dress, and from that dress comes a book in art, and from that book in art comes along the path I meet you because you interview me about the book, and now here I am, and all because of that experience. But now we go back to being in fourth grade, and I'm relating to you an experience of me as fourth grader sitting in a desk being completely insulted and feeling, you know, like a lack of dignity, almost like probably what a Native American person felt like when they tried to impinge the other way of living on them. They're like, what?
Totally.
That's how
totally.
It was for me, you know? And so, you know, the beauty is all these timelines are flying and we're all, you know, I'm relating these stories, yet they all are healing stories, they're teaching stories, they're empowering stories, they're, you know, and you could have said, okay, Janine, guess what you're going to talk about on the radio today? You could have given me, like, you know, 5 million guesses, and I wouldn't have said, when I was in fourth grade taking the IQ test.
Right,
it's so perfect that, you
totally.
Know, we're jumping timelines, we're connecting all these places, and how they all end up in this perfect timing of, like, sharing, you know, for other people listening, you know. And
Totally.
Yeah, and it's kind of due to, which is, you know, the sun card, which is due to a very cool partnership of you and I kind of interacting on radio and off radio, and, you know, and then we get to share these experiences, which then affect other people. And it's just, it's that great domino effect, or that, you know, and that, you know, so that's why I love when Simon shares his experiences. I love to hear from other people because that's what this is about, you know?
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sharing the process. Yeah. Well, what was that quote? God is a verb, not a noun, and he's a process, not an entity. And it's a process, not an entity.
Yeah, it's like God. No, this was Christopher Hedges, is a very, very bright, incredible heart person. And, yeah, he wrote an article, and we posted it on Facebook. But and under the Mystical Mother Earth Show. But yeah, God is not a noun. It's a verb, and it's a process, not an entity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, great. And because as you know from our favorite movie, Moneyball, it's a process. It's a process. It's a process.
Life and is a process. Is
you know,
a process.
You know what I love to think of? You know what I love to think of, which is really fun? That this is just fun and playing for me. That I literally can like go back and be that fourth grade girl and almost now be her and go, and someday I'm going to talk about this on the radio show.
How stupid this test really is, and that we're dumbing down the whole world. No, right on. Right on. Totally.
I love
it.
That.
Yeah, I do too. Because, see, in your world, in your muscle, or in your healthy muscle of imagination,
yeah,
you know, literally, in your thought of doing that, you did.
Yeah.
You know, you created the timeline. Yeah,
I did.
You did.
I
you did stand
it.
Up. And go, yeah. Wow, those are just interesting words coming out of your mouth, babe. I love you. I love how raw and real you are. You banged it. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, and you know, it's great because no, because that,
you can.
That is
because you
that
can.
That is the multidimensional human being. You know,
yeah.
Sitting in a fourth-grade desk going, this feels terrible and undignified. Someday I'm going to share this with a lot of people. And, you know, it's going to all relate to my neurosis about taxes.
Well, no, and it's going to ultimately be your truth that which is artificial, I don't have time for. Show me, I'll give you all my energy and all my
right.
effort to that which is organic. But the artificial...
Yeah.
You know, the unlife the, or the non-life sustaining, you know, F you. You know?
Yeah.
You know,
I don't
need to be a part of
child.
That.
You know, I
yeah,
was probably
totally.
Very indigenous, like, and it was so like, are you kidding me? You know, and
yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So anyway, it's a great story to share. I can actually feel. I can feel the
little
energy.
Janine.
That, yeah, but I can also feel the empowerment and the energy that comes in like the sun energy where you
yeah.
know it laid maybe dormant or you know it hadn't yet transmuted itself to something powerful. You know, it was laying dormant almost like okay, you gotta deal with this.
Waiting
and, you
for
know,
its
and,
potential. Waiting for its
yeah.
potential to come out.
Yeah,
yeah.
and then you have this sun dream, you know, and it's like, woof, hey, you know, it's like, oh, there you go when you lift some blocks, you know, or there you go when you, it's the power of dealing with those issues that get us, you know, that keep us sort of imprisoned.
Sane. Well, right, if you don't listen to them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
in other
well,
words,
you know,
if you stuffed the feelings about
yeah.
being uncomfortable and just went, you know, buck up, just do the taxes, because death and taxes are the only things that are real and you got to do them.
Right.
You know, it, that's so against, you know, the soul comes to us
yeah.
when we're feeling uncomfortable as well as when we're feeling, you know, ecstatic. The soul
yeah.
comes to you through the messages of the sensations in your physical body. That is the soul talking to you. And so just pay attention. Pay attention to the joyful ones. Pay attention to the painful ones. Because and by paying attention, you start learning the language of the soul, which, by the way, is the same language coming to through us in our dreams.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Why ultimately understanding the soul is making life, you know, personally for me, waking or sleeping, it's all becoming, I'm becoming consciously aware. Because like when I was saying to you the other day that, like I went lucid in a dream. Now, I didn't go lucid to the point, when my mom first came to me in a dream 3 weeks after she died, I was very clear. I mean, I literally woke up in my dream and went, I must be dreaming because I was holding my mother and knew that she had passed on, so I must be dreaming in order for me to physically be holding her. And I stayed lucid the whole time, and we had an incredible dialogue. So now, sometimes I go lucid when my mom's around, and there are other times, but I don't wake up completely in the dream and I have 100% lucidity. I'll just, for a moment, and I mean literally a split second, I'll be like, I'm dreaming, and then I'll forget it, but there seems to be, in that split second, that level of awareness that I know I'm dreaming. It brings the dream to a different conscious level in that split second. And what's happening is the same lucidity that I'm having in my dream state, I'm also showing and experiencing in my waking state. And Janine, you said it. You were like, well, that makes sense that, you know, it's me in both spaces. So lucidity in one would show up as lucidity in the other. And I'm really finding life to be much more fluid in the sense of it. There's not these designated boundaries of I go to sleep, I wake up. It's really like, well, what's showing me, what part of my consciousness is showing me in this state of consciousness, and what part of my consciousness is showing me in that state of consciousness? And I'm finding the true common denominator in all of it is my feelings, truly my body feelings.
My
body has been lately just, you know, trumping my brain thoughts. I mean, it's funny because my girlfriend, Tricia, who I love her dearly, she's going to be here Saturday for the party, and we've had conversations, and she'll clearly say, listen, my mind has said don't do something. My body has said, you know, don't do something, and my mind will go, you know, that's not true. Do it. And she'll do it, and then she will go, God damn it, why did I do that? I mean, and she has a clear awareness, and it's like, I think if all of us just put a little effort, in my humble opinion, there should be complete effort, but, you know, as it comes, put a little effort into just noticing what does the body want to do on certain decisions, and then which way do you actually go? Do you go against the body, or do you go with the body? And in my humble opinion, if you go with the body every time, you'll see that there's still an anxiousness, because your brain will still be screaming at you, you know, idiot, should have done that, you know, and yet life itself will not be screaming that at you. It'll be your mind, but the life choices that you're making by following your body will be so brilliant. And it's funny, because me and Simon had a conversation today, and he was saying, you know, he was hungry and he was tired. He didn't know if he wanted to eat and go to sleep or eat and take a walk. And so, you know, I was like, well, you know, I was like, I would eat and take a walk. You know, I mean, just, you know, get outside a little. That, you know, even 10 minutes, 20 minutes, this is, it's not about getting outside for seven hours, you know, to get the oxygen. And, you know, you just get outside for a bit every single day, and it will change your life. Hands down, it will change your life. And, you know, Simon, he went on the walk, and, you know, and he wrote me this, it was beautiful. I got to read it. I hope he's okay.
Okay.
I got to read this. He goes, okay. Just home from a long walk in a very snowy and windy forest. Invigorating. Took my camera with me as well. I'll be posting some photos later on. I can feel my face thawing, LOL. So nice to finally go for a long walk into the unknown. There was magic with me the entire time. I even felt you with me, walking side by side. You looked very happy and comfortable. You were smiling from ear to ear. I love you deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really feel that the feeling of his writing was absolutely in reflection to the fact that he took his body outdoors and got some oxygen, even though it was cold and snowy. And this is truly what all of us are seeking, at least the people in my circle and the people that are attracted to, you know, this radio show. You know, it's like, what are we seeking? We're not necessarily seeking fame, fortune, you know, and Maseratis in our car, in our driveway. We're just seeking peace of mind and an ability to stand, you know, kind of with our sea legs on planet Earth. You know, our, the preparation of an inner strength that says, if global changes will happen, which we all get in our gut feeling already that they're going to, we're ready. We're ready. How? Oh, we don't know. I don't know how. We're just ready because, you know, our body's acclimating to whatever. You know, we're letting processes take place without interfering with them. We're not drugging ourselves up to no end. We're not in delusions. We're not lying to ourselves. We're not, you know, hovering over the TV for 17 hours a day because, you know, we're afraid to make contact with the darks and the shadow sides of self. You know, we're sharing, we're outside and, you know, connecting with nature, connecting with each other in quiet ways, you know, in soulful ways, not, forget what it's not. It's just what it is. You know, I mean, it's so real. It's so real.
And the practice of doing something that, you know, it's not a thinking thing, but it's just like letting something happen because you're being led by the body. And maybe the mind is saying, "Oh, really? Are you sure?" You know, but you're,
or even stronger than that. It could actually be stronger than that, because I've had it stronger, where it's going, don't go. I mean, I've actually heard my head say that, and it's like, you know, F you, I'm out of here. Just keep screaming, because you're not in control.
Yeah.
Too bad.
But the synchronistic life, because that's, you become more adept at it. You know, it's
yes.
It's just
yes.
You're more tuned to it or attuned to it, you know. And so from knowing both ways, there's no comparison to the ease and the beauty and the of a synchronistic way of being. I mean, it's just a whole nother way. And so, but
right,
you don't know it unless you begin it, and you
right,
begin it by just
right,
you know,
right,
you know, going with it,
trusting it,
you know,
trusting it,
yeah,
even
it
without knowing,
practice,
without seeing it. Well,
so,
and that's why I'm. No,
that's really all. But no. So that's, you know, the funny thing is. This has just been an ongoing occurrence that's occurring, you know, mutually between us. But, you know, it's whether it's my eyes start feeling better because someone is sitting down with me and we're exchanging in a therapeutic situation that's, you know, obviously really right placement because my body told me it was right placement. You know, the dream, that, you know, me being pulled, you know, being asked to look at someone else's dreams. I mean, that's like the opposite of taking an IQ test. It's so natural. It's such a beautiful exchange. It's what we're meant to do. You know, it's not, we're not
meant
we're
built
to take
to
IQ
do.
Tests.
Yes, that's true.
Nobody's
because
meant
I want
to take an IQ test.
Nobody's
no.
meant, right. I
no.
mean, exactly.
No.
Well, I won't say that. I mean, the descension is about getting to know the mind, which is, and listen, there are people that are coming in. This is, you know, there are plenty of non-physical beings who have yet to discover what it's like to be fragmented and separated in the density of physical. We were just the first crew. We're the first 7 billion, and trust me, there's even more than 7 billion, because think about all the souls that have been here that aren't incarnate at this time. That's just how many incarnated beings there are. You know, there's trillions upon quadrillions upon billions. You know, I mean, forget the number. The number's stupid. Stupid in how big it is. But so there is purpose, because we're going to find that, you know, maybe a majority of the people are still in the descension. And so, you know, they'll still need to continue that intellectual journey. It's the intellectual non-life affirming journey. But it's when you're an eternal being, that's what we came here to play in. We came here to play in that which was finite, because we've never known anything like that before. Never. We are infinite, and when we know we're infinite, finite is now the play game. As opposed to when we think of ourselves as finite, infinite becomes the play game. But the thing I just wanted to add is what you were saying about, you know, following the body before it may show up as the right thing to do. Remember,
right,
the head holds the 4 out of 5 of the illusional vibration interpreters.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that you're not going to see it in this dimension right away, because you know, unless you're already telling your, you know, your heart and or your cells. And with me, I actually resonate way more with the cells. I'm not saying that the heart isn't a portal. It's just for me, it was easier for me to find awareness through cellular wisdom than it was through my heart. And that could very well be because, you know, I shut my heart down in many ways, you know, so it just became incredibly challenging to open it up, where I never shut down my cells. I mean, I've never told myself, stop feeling cellularly. So telling myself to feel that was really quite easy, because I realized it was already a sense that I have. When, if you use the word, I got a good vibe, or in my field of awareness. I mean, these are all cellular wisdom. You're already using it. It's just a matter of literally completely trusting those experiences, as opposed to listening to the mind's interpretation, as your mind is going, you know, well, we like drama, so let's keep up the drama.
That's a definite another way to go. But you know, the drama vortex, that
right,
is another
right.
valuable piece that George said, that I immediately went, oh, you know, I've heard, you know, don't play in the drama vortexes.
Right.
Because you can
right.
withdraw from them, and then it's another game changer. But what I was thinking was, when you know, when you said in my field of awareness, blah blah, all that stuff, and then I'm going, okay, so another way of saying that would be, well, I'm sensing, and then you go, okay, so then this is just fun to go, well, what part of you is sensing? And you go, I don't know, I'm sensing. It's like, okay, so it's just, to me,
I
would say that it's, I'm sensing is all of me, you know, is sensing that, you know, it's not the heart, it's not, you know, it's just I'm sensing. So it's like, oh, okay. So, I mean, go with that. It's like all of you is sensing, you know. And then I was thinking, when you said the heart, and you would rather go with the cells, and I'm going, well, probably there's a little heart in every cell.
No, right on. I believe that. I'm just telling you personally.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be the head of the heart.
Yeah,
I never really
I
felt things,
heart
quote unquote, in my
me.
Chest.
I
yeah,
feel I'm
I don't,
sensing, which
right
is
on.
Me.
Right
me,
on.
You know.
I think
yeah.
yes. I think it's more
yeah.
of a whole body experience, which, when you look at it, it has to be. My whole body is going to walk through that organic portal into the fifth dimension. You know, this is not just my heart. My whole body's going.
No,
so my whole
of course.
Body better be prepared. Well, I mean, I concur, in other words. I totally
concur
that I concur. I always
concur.
Feel like a doctor when I say So, yes, you know, the heart's a great thing, but if you look at it, God knows, on Valentine's Day, I was ready to rip Scott's heart out of his chest, for God's sakes. You know, the heart also has, you know, like I said, conditionally speaking, I've already shut mine down, and it's awakening, absolutely. But when I, you know, it almost reminds me of like going, I no longer have to heal myself from the fourth dimension. If I look at myself directly from the fifth dimension, I'm already in harmony and there's nothing to heal. You
yeah.
know, it's a perspective shift. That's all I was really.
And I just
you know,
want you to know that the retrospect of Valentine's Day by you was fantastic. I loved it. It was
Thank
so.
You.
It's like you said to me. It's so raw. It's so real. But it is. It's like, you know. I just. It's kind of
it
like.
Is.
You know, when you hear, you know, someone tell, well, I'll just say it in the first person. When I hear some political Republican trying to tell women or me or anyone what how to do with their bodies, and I'm like, I just want to punch that guy in the face. Like,
yeah, right on.
It's like,
true that.
Right. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
This is warrior.
Who the hell are you to tell? Yeah, no. Well, nothing more irritating than a man in Congress or whatever telling a female what to do. I mean, because
with her body.
Because I said to my mom, because I've had an abortion or two. We'll speak of that on another show.
Right.
Not today.
Right.
But I remember asking my mom, going, because Connecticut was legal, but there were still, I think, other states where it was illegal or something. I just said to her, I go, what if it was illegal in in America? Like, what if I couldn't get an abortion? What would you do? And she'd go, I'd fly you to Europe.
Right.
I was like, all right. Well, thank God it's not going to cost us that. But, a man telling, please. And this
is
where, us women have to really stand up and go, I don't think so. And and I don't know if you've ever seen the movie If These Walls Could Talk, but it's deep and it's hard, and it's basically three generations of women getting abortions.
My body told me how wrong. You don't need to know anything, but when you hear some individual and a male telling you, what you should do with your body. I mean, I literally feel, like Mother Earth is going, what? This is me, this is my sovereignty, and my body just says, punch that guy in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Well, and it's funny because as you're saying that, I'm thinking to myself, so often Mother Earth has been considered weak.
I know.
Considered,
subservient or
subservient,
just today on the news,
submissive.
Just today on the news, I was listening to some, similar person say, we have dominion over the earth. And I'm going, oh,
really?
Yeah, and I'm like, you shouldn't have said that.
Mama's gonna get you.
I was like, oh boy, backlash. I was like,
yeah.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's so interesting because people, unconditional love is so misunderstood because, Mother Earth is by no means weak. And is by no means, ignorant or subservient. She is so clearly compassionate to allow the beings mm-hmm. on her to experience really dark experiences that actually include her going dark as well in order for them to experience it. Because Mother Earth is clearly conscious that we are one. I mean, we're not just on her. In order to be born on this planet, you had to go through the core of her center. In order to be born on this planet, we also had to go through the core of the sun. I would imagine though, on some level too, she has this darkness in her. Because I'm kind of just getting that right now. Like, it's not like she is definitely a compassionate being, but she's experiencing her own integration as well, where because she's yet another person somewhere on the planet too. We're all kind of beings incarnating as planets, incarnating as people, incarnating as animals and plants and mm-hmm. minerals. It's like it's all of us. So if it happens in me, it happens in her too. I'm just having an awareness.
About it as you're talking, because I was thinking, the structure of a human, and this is, honestly, I'm willing to throw all this out the window because it almost feels like, really, that could be really old ways of thinking, like even to mention ego.
Yeah.
Even to mention the ego, and then I go, I wonder if the Earth has an ego. But then I'm going, wait a minute. And this is very cool because this is just happening as we're talking. I'm going, I think all those are old man-made identities. I think I'm getting rid of all that. I'd rather be empty like the bowl and the cup than actually have to have something to describe aspects of myself anymore in some old man-made language. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
you know,
I don't even know if they're fine
totally.
Anymore.
Totally. Because, listen, and, you know, see, now you're actually helping me, because when I asked my soul to show me the aspects of myself from the planetary perspective, mm-hmm. you know, it's in the planetary perspective that I believe the ego becomes, the ego's still there, as George put it, the ego is in this entire universe because the construct is light. So it's based on a wave, and a wave has polarity. So, but the ego in the fifth dimension is significantly different than the ego in the fourth and the third. Now, but what's so interesting about this is, so, you know, when all the people that are having, you know, these, you know, these posts about the Monsanto people and the mm-hmm. Illuminati's, you know, you're still dealing with fourth dimensional aspect of self. Because
right.
in the fourth dimensional aspect of self, there are all these races of physical beings. In the fifth dimensional aspect of self, you're now dealing in planetary and star.
Yeah,
you know,
it's and
like,
it's a whole nother,
still,
it's a whole nother construct because, or
totally.
Organic, yeah, because really what I saw, like, there's a great movie, and I'm trying to think if it's Robin Williams plays a like literature teacher. And like, all the kids stand on the desk or something.
Yes. Like, yes
okay,
yes.
So when he comes, I'm describing the movie, but. I might not get it.
I'll Google it. I'll Google it.
Yeah.
While you do,
so anyway, my captain. It's a beautiful film, but I love the part where, and this is all archetype and metaphor, and exactly kind of what I'm talking about on a personal level, of being ready. Or obviously, the thought just crossed my mind that he walks into the classroom and he basically just throws the book for the textbook for the whole. Like semester.
The Fisher
garbage.
King? Is that the Fisher King?
No.
Oh, Dead Poets Society. Dead Poets Society.
Oh, the Dead Poets Society, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Okay.
And he basically throws the book that they're supposed to follow in the trash and just says, throw it away. And oh, and also the in The Beautiful Mind, Russell Crowe does the same thing playing John Nash.
Yes.
So it's two it's
he gives
two teachers.
Them, right.
He says,
yeah,
throw them,
right.
You might as well throw these away. So
yeah.
From my perspective, as I started to think about when you were discussing the earth and her, and she's a being and she's going through her own stuff, well, all of a sudden I'm going, well, you know, does she have an ego? And then I'm going, wait a minute. And then all of a sudden I got that for myself, it's like they're starting to feel like very antiquated descriptions of humans or myself in that, well, they, you know, yeah, maybe 80 years ago when they started to describe the human, but it doesn't apply to me. All of a sudden it doesn't apply. Like, I'm like, I think I'm going to find new ways of describing the structure of our internal process or who we are, or, you know, because they don't. And I think that's exactly what is happening, especially when suns show up, is that
exactly.
You let go. There's these, they don't apply anymore.
Because it's not the mind anymore. The mind
right.
will look at
man-made, old-fashioned ways of describing
yes.
people. And also, by the way, very limiting. You know,
yes.
I mean, you know, and so... Yeah, so what I love about that is because we did speak of, in some very, very not typical way, of the law of attraction, that the law of attraction to me, as you said, George said it was gravity, is that as you release old belief systems and you become empty, new comes in. And that to
yeah.
me is law of attraction. So,
yeah.
so as I let go of... They seem very primitive, just like the electrical systems on our street. To describe someone as ego and unconscious and subconscious, it just seems like ridiculous now. It's like, really?
Yeah.
You know, I think I'll just start thinking in terms of like sun and,
Well, planetary, star, solar system.
Yeah.
Because truth be told, that's the frequency you're resonating with anyways. That's why it feels more natural to think of it that way. I got the same thing. It's
right.
Like, I'm no longer, because people are, you know, I watch these people, not necessarily arguing, but I see a lot of people posting, you know, mind control this, mind control that, kind of oblivious that they're under mind control in the posting of it. Because as long as you're fighting mind control through your mind, there will never be a winner. Believe me, I know what it's like. 4 years of my life revenging this woman in my 20s. You don't win. Nobody wins. It's just fire and fighting. You know, you can say the words, this is for justice, and that's a crock of shit. You're doing it because it feels good to have revenge. You want to avenge that being. You want to make them feel bad because you believe they made you feel bad. And again, part of the process, that there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But if you're beyond that, the way to get beyond that is, you know, let go of the mind. Because the mind loves that. The mind is built for that. It is just, it thrives in that kind of, you know, angry, polarized, no-win situation.
Company.
Misery loves company and the brain loves misery. Loves it. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, that's why, you know, when you're doing your taxes, it's all about the mind. When we're taking tests of IQ, it's all about the mind. But it's all about the feeling in the body. If the goal is to get organic into this and frequency ready to walk through your fifth dimensional portal. And to be honest, it doesn't matter if you've been paying attention to this or not. If that's your point, if that's your goal, or not the goal, if that's your purpose, the soul's been doing it the whole time without you being recognized. But if it is your purpose, by aligning in it, oh my God, it makes life just gets much more fluid and much more elegant and natural. I mean, you know, in the last vestiges of things to let go of, follow the body, listen to your sensations in your gut, you know, wherever you're getting it. You know, gosh, you might feel it in your right knee. I don't know where you feel it. I would imagine you feel it in your gut, though. Follow your gut. Live by your gut. It's close, if not 100% of the time. In 2012, February 21st, it will serve you if indeed you already know the goal for you is to be, you know, going through the organic ascension, because that isn't that's the tool, one of them. It's not the only one. But one of the tools is just listening to your body, because at this point, the body is now the best driver to get you there. Not the mind, the body. I mean, and you can say your heart, but if you're like me, like I said, the heart's been battered. It's been beaten in this hole. Coming down through the descension, it was all about breaking my heart and having pain. Absolutely. That was the purpose. So how am I supposed to now go to this fractured part of me and go, now get me where I'm supposed to go? I mean, like I said, for me, ironically, that doesn't make logical sense to me. But my body, whom I have seen bit by a dog, you know, go through 12 years of drugs and alcohol and cigarettes. You know, I mean, I won't say that, you know, I feel as, you know, as spunky as I felt when I was 7 years old, but, you know, I'm a healthy enough person to know, okay, you're showing me resiliency, you're showing me wisdom. You know what the hell you're doing, don't you? You do. And by golly, I'm going to connect with that, because the body does. The body is a wisdom all its own. And I'm not talking the body being a size, you know, 2, you know, with your nails done and your hair not looking gray. None of that. None of that. I have, you know, no makeup on. My hair has gray. My eyebrows have gray. I'm as heavy as I've ever been. I live on chocolate cookies and cake, and I won't apologize for it. And my dreams are telling me, right on. My soul is telling me, and spot on, as Simon put it. And, you know, it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing who is our ally and who has been told is not our ally. Because God knows we've been told so much. You know, give yourself, you know, what is not the vitamins, but subvitamins, whatever. What do they call those things? Supplements.
Oh,
well,
supplements.
You know, people
yeah,
that are,
yeah.
you know, are on these regimens of supplements. Just leave your body alone. Do basic things. Water, oxygen, exercise. Simple. Stop trying to your mind is telling you your body doesn't know how to do it. Bullshit. That is straight out bullshit. Your body knows, and stop putting things in that are telling the body, because the body goes, oh, you don't think I know? Bet. I wash my hands of it. Okay, you take over then. And that's where all the screw up is coming from.
Yeah.
Let me calm down a little.
No.
I'm a little spicy here.
Somehow you led me back to Purell. I was like, oh, no. And
yeah, well, that's funny.
When you said something, I was like, oh, no. And we don't need all that Purell, this you know, bacteria phobia and, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And you see the little kids are paranoid now, and it's disturbing. It's like, are you kidding? You know, what are you afraid of? You know,
Of death. Let's get to it. You know what they're afraid of? Death.
Yeah, but almost an artificial death, because, you know, it's that feared thing that, you know, they don't even know what does that even mean. You know, it's worse than death. It's worse than
death. It's being on the artificial timeline, because you're afraid of death, yet the Purell is actually creating more hazard for your immune system, which ultimately keeps you alive and healthy. And so what you're fearing, you're creating.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty basic and simple. Just trust nature. And don't, you're not separate from it. I'm not separate from nature. I'm not separate from mammals and animals. I mean, God knows, Dakini and Janine's cat, Blackie. Blackie totally sent me a message the other day, trust the silence. And,
yeah,
and she didn't tell me this in silence.
You asked me a question, and Blackie jumped up, and this was, she never does that. And she meowed into the phone, and Golden Hook goes, ah, I got it, Blackie.
Exactly.
And it was trust the silence. And I was like, wow, you got that from Blackie? And once again, we will someday play that piece, that when it's time, when the time is right. But that but that silence is a powerful, you know, there's something there that silence gives you. As a matter of fact, I was watching the news last night in my quantum transformation of sort of sitting there, and I saw two demonstrations of recent protesting about the women's body issues to these political Congress people. And they were so effective that they stopped two times these votes going through. And you know what? Both demonstrations were done in complete silence. And they were more powerful than a demonstration. Yeah. They literally showed. Yeah, it was so powerful. The people who were protesting just stood there and watched the people who had these votes in their power, them go past them in silence, and they couldn't vote it. Twice this happened, and it was remarkable that the cameraman captured these two protests that were completely silent. And these were hundreds of people. And I thought, oh, my God, sometimes silence is amazing. You know,
sometimes, most of the time.
Most
if
of
not
the time.
All
right.
of the time.
Most of the time.
I get it that sometimes, you know, in the duality, it's okay to speak up. Well, duh, like we're doing a radio show.
No, I was going to say we can have 2 hours of silence and see how.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder how many people would actually listen to that. You know, how many people would join us if we literally just sat here silent for 2 hours?
That'd be pretty
You know,
crazy.
Would they freak out? Would they call up? What would they do? You know, we should try that sometime.
Well, we could even just try 2 minutes of silence.
Okay, well, you want to do... Well, not now.
No.
Oh,
no, we're
you
not ready.
No!
I don't think like I could do it right now. I'm too giddy.
Well, and right, yeah. Well, and also right, because I would want to discuss it afterwards.
Right.
We'll do it though.
Leave everybody.
Yeah. But that could be pretty powerful. Well, indeed, and what you just said, look at how it literally changed Congress or wherever the vote was.
It did. In two separate demonstrations, it was incredibly impactful that rather than yelling and screaming protesters, they were silent. And all they did was watch the people go, and you could feel it. You could feel it. So that says a lot for everything that is what we're talking about, which is, the presence of the individual is the power. You know, it's so like
that
you
is
were talking
the power.
The body knows, you know, the presence of, you know, of the people in silence was more powerful than if they had made noise. So that is pretty amazing, really.
Yeah, that is so abstract.
I know.
To go to Congress to get the changes, say nothing. I mean, come on. Everybody, pardon me as I belch.
Because really the presence of the people was more powerful than, and you really, I'm telling you, when you watched it.
Than the fight.
You watched it, you could feel it. It was like, wow. You know?
That's truly, that's amazing.
I think maybe that's a great, for all of us to think more about what is it about silence that's so amazing, you know?
Well, right, and not think about it, but actually experience silence.
Experiment with it.
Totally. I mean, in the shower, I get insights. In the car, when I'm alone, I get insights. And when I'm in the woods, I get insights. I mean, these are all places I experience silence. I mean, it just makes total. But I mean, Carolyn said in her Defy Gravity talk, she goes, "Can I really say, how can I express the amazement that I am living in a time when energy has 1% more influence than matter?" She was like, "I can't even begin to express the elation that I am living through a time where that is apparent." You know, that is apparent, and I'm going, God, Carolyn, you're so deep. I so appreciate that. You know, like,
yeah,
that is what I feel I'm living through right now. What you just said, that was energy having 1% more influence than matter.
Yeah. And on the same token, because that's so, I was going to bring this up before, but what Carolyn just reminded me of also for me is, and we've discussed this because I asked you this question, that I go, it seems as though when you, and this could be that the energy has 1% more going for it, because it seems as though when you go with the I'm sensing to do this kind of thing, the body, you're following something. This is not a thinking process. There is something other than, you know, well, I've decided, and you're living this synchronistic, follow the signs, listen differently. I was asking you this, and Carolyn just sort of maybe answered a little piece of it. There seems to be almost a tipping point of you start living it more and more, and it's like exponential, and you feel it more and more, and it starts to become more your normal than the not, you know what I mean? Like, and I've been sensing that kind of tipping point thing where the more you live this, it just happens more. And
yeah,
to me, that's probably what she's saying, because you start to feel there's almost an energetic way of living, you know,
not almost,
which it is an energetic way of living with,
yes.
And why I feel that the appearance of a sun as the sphere of energy, that actually seems very congruent. You know, it's like, yeah, right.
It is congruent.
And that's why.
Exactly.
That's why the old paradigms of describing human beings for me in their you know, and now we have the superego and the ego. It just seems so like the wiring on the street. It seems very primitive to me.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it's separation,
you know, it's like, really,
versus
are we gonna
unity.
Describe, you know, I mean, can you go look at those wires on those poles and you go, boy, I know we're more advanced than this. You know, and
yeah,
we are, by
yeah.
the way. And
extraordinarily
I start,
so.
What?
Extraordinarily so. I mean, we are extraordinarily more. Yes.
So
free
so
energy has been around for a very long time. We just have, you know, it's been suppressed because
yeah.
That was part
well,
of our journey to experience the suppression.
Right,
that's
and it's
can,
also part of our journey to think that we're matter versus energy, and we're energy versus matter, really. And you start
exactly.
living this way, and I'm back to my point. If there does seem to be a tipping point, and I know
yes.
Carolyn Mace is describing it, because
yes,
yeah,
yes.
The,
yes.
yeah. So, and I know I've asked you that. I'm like, don't you think that? Doesn't it feel like there's
we've
a
talked
tipping
about
point?
That? Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, there's a tipping point in every experience, and ironic. I mean, the paradox is the center, but the tipping point helps us experience both. And remember, this is a cosmos or a universe of duality, so
uh-huh.
we're meant to experience them both. I mean,
right.
that is, you know, and but you know, I find it interesting is, you know, our tipping point for energy being coming before matter, this was established when Oppenheimer split the atom.
Right.
Again, this was, you know, I want credit given. Caroline Mace is the one that shared that information. Now, that happened in 1942. I mean, we dropped the bomb in 44, so it happened between 42, 43, something like that.
Yeah.
And it has taken, what, 80 years, 70 years to get us to this point? And see, that's what's so interesting. For me, from my perspective, I'm seeing it as it can take a very long time for something to reach a tipping point.
Yeah.
But once we reach that tipping point, I'm telling you, it's going to go like that. I mean, just this, we are not in for another 70 years of, you know, getting us back into the ascension and balance. It's like that. It's going to, you know, flush and you know, blow open all our cylinders, all our chakras. And at least, like I said, for the people that are, you know, desiring the fifth dimensional organic ascension,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to happen. It's going to almost feel like on some levels in a flash, you know, because it is the tipping point that once we reach that tipping point, A, there's no turning back. There's no turning back anyways, but there's a tipping point where, you know, like you really are ready to leave the third and fourth dimension. I mean, that's you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Because I know it's coming for me. I mean, it's, and, you know, the sun showing up that it's going to get so big, it's engulfing me. That's my own inner light going to get so big, it's going to engulf my body. I mean, that's, and I'm, you know, bring it. I'm ready.
Yeah.
This is kind of what I've been, you know, it's so funny because I spoke to a friend of mine who I haven't spoken to in over a year, and he's a dear friend of mine who has basically been in my life for many, many moons, just listening to me talk about the ascension. I mean, just hours upon hours upon hours listening to me talk about the ascension. You know, and I'm finally at the point where I could say to him, you know, hey, I mean, it's actually becoming physical. And even he gets it as well. I mean, he gets, because one of the terms I came out when I was talking with him, which I thought was, you know, so apropos for so many people, and we should definitely talk about this on our next show, is I have found my gifts in life have all come from when I was in hell. They, mm-hmm. My gifts didn't show up for me when I was in heaven. Mm-hmm. Now, the goal is to create that all the gifts, you know, in their blend become heaven, but the discovery of the gifts happened, at least for me and for my friend Kenny, in hell. That, and I believe that, right? We talk about the hot kitchen. So
yeah.
It's not like, you know, we're not being punished in heaven. We're being challenged to see our gifts because the gifts don't show up like that in hell. they don't make their presence known. You don't know courage in a place where you don't need it. You know courage in a place where you do. I mean, that's just, you don't know patience in a place that you don't want to, you're not looking to leave. You know patience when there's something happening that you want it to happen differently. I mean, that's just, the gifts are found in hell. And I say that because I think it's important if we can redefine the value of hell, hell actually becomes heaven. I mean, which
is,
becomes
of course,
a weird,
yes, exactly the yeah. opposite, which we love talking about, which is the polarities, how they literally play off each other and are necessary.
Yeah.
In this third dimension, but they're, you know, yeah. I mean, I always see it as the treasures are hidden in those places, you know, and
exactly
and like in the Magic Gown. When you go down the well of unfathomable suffering, you end up in the shimmering world. But you can't end up in the shimmering world by any other way. You know, so...
Exactly.
So, yeah,
exactly.
So, you know, so...
Well, there it is.
It's very important. Those places are really important. In other words, don't leave any rock unturned.
Exactly. Exactly. And kiss lots of frogs. You know, and do all the stuff that they do. You know, put your hand on the fire. It's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but it's mm-hmm. you know, if the greatest teacher is experience and all the gifts mm-hmm. are found in hell, just ponder that. Ponder those two cliches. I don't even
yeah.
know. I don't know if it's a cliche
well, no,
that all
like
you get
Dante's
found in hell.
Inferno leads to Dante's Paradiso, and you know, and
exactly.
Yeah, those are all those great stories. All the great stories are like that. You know, that's because they're like, what did you tell me, Carolyn? They said that the only way you can describe the what is it about the metaphor?
The divine.
The only way to truly describe the divine is by metaphor, because you can't really touch
it yes.
either way.
The only truly way to define God is through
right.
metaphor, because you can't point directly at it, because the minute you try to describe what you're pointing at, you're no longer describing it.
Right.
Because it can't be described.
Right. And so all the great stories, you know, it's you know, in fact, one of the best books that I love, Sacred Chaos, is the only way to the divine is through the dark. You know,
yes.
I love that book. It's by a Jungian.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's really good. And people like, they're like, oh, I don't want to read that. It's like, yeah, of course you don't.
Yeah, well, of course. Scaredy cat. Scaredy cat, of course you don't. Scaredy cat. And, you know, excuse me, we should have been scaredy cat. It reminds
like,
me.
Okay, well,
the
you
cat,
never can
yeah,
make a great cake with that stupid little oven with the light bulb.
Yeah, you only get easy baked cookies in that world, right?
They're
on.
Half cooked and they're disgusting.
They were heated by a light bulb, for God's sake. Need I say more? Exactly. Exactly. We want to have some wonderful cheesecake. Well, then get into your hell and start finding your gifts.
Goldie's birthday cake will not be made in an easy bake oven. I can tell you that.
No, well, my birth into the fifth dimension won't, which is ultimately the only birth I am focused on. But you're absolutely right. It is a quantum transformation. And it comes from hands down being willing to go to hell, your own hell. I can understand not wanting to go to somebody else's hell. You don't have to go to somebody else's hell. You only got to go to yours. And what your hell is, it's already been created. Now it's just a matter of owning it. That's truly what the ascension is. You've already lived through hell. These are the pieces you dropped off because they were too painful to feel at the time. Well, it's time to go back and pick them up if you're indeed the goal is to ascend. You must gather your pieces because everything's going to ascend. Not just the good part of you, all of you, because all of it had value. I mean, it's crazy as that sounds. It's really as simple as that.
You know what I'm smiling at? I was just browsing the photos of the sun on Facebook on your wall and mine, and so many different people that I haven't heard from in a while are liking it, and I'm like, oh, isn't that funny? How attracted to this sun art?
Well, look what we've been talking about. I mean,
I know.
That's confirmation.
perfect.
Yeah, exactly. It's also a beautiful painting, Janine. I mean, really. It's gorgeous.
Oh, there's
I mean,
a real
the whole
story behind that one. You want this? I'll give you this really quick.
You don't have to give it quick. Go. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, this is a watercolor. Now, talk about through.
Wow.
This is a great story. Why do I have this beautiful painting? Someone hired me to do cards for their company and totally stiffed me. But guess what? I don't care because I have the most. I love this painting, and I wouldn't have made it unless this con artist, total criminal con artist, actually really like one of the nicest criminals I ever met, hired me, like totally schmoozing me, you know, like and I'm like,
I lost $20,000 at the same. I lost $20,000 by the same
kind
of guy.
But this is the irony. I love this painting, and I never would have had it unless I was, you know, seduced, schmoozed into. Oh well, sure, I'll make your cards for you. Oh no, you don't have to pay me till I'm done. Well, once I did make them, you know, disappeared, never heard from the person again, but I was like, ooh, but I have the painting, so who cares, you know? And so isn't that ironic that I have this beautiful little sun painting watercolor that wouldn't have happened unless, you know, I went through that experience, which kind of is a familiar story of how great things can happen from something that didn't seem so wonderful at the time, you know? And that happens
totally.
A lot. You know,
my radio show. I wouldn't be on the radio without the guy who conned me.
And,
you
know, it's worth 20,000 times 500. You know, to me.
Yes,
it
20
is.
Times. It's worth a quadrillion.
A million, billion, trillion,
quadrillion.
No, but it's true.
It is. You're right on. Great share. Yeah. Great story about. I love it because, I mean, if you look at the painting, it's clearly gorgeous. And the story behind it shows you how nothing is created in a vacuum. You can't, you know, and we're going to talk about this potentially on Thursday.
Okay.
Because endings and beginnings.
Yeah.
Nothing can be created without its polar opposite. Nothing. Nothing.
And
now
this,
let's start
this,
looking for these
sun
examples.
And this painting is a perfect example of that.
Totally. Totally.
And this is also, you know, symbolizes to me a new beginning. So, you know, so of course, and what you couldn't have a new beginning without an ending. So yes, it's absolutely true. And you know, let's talk about this on Thursday.
Yeah, because it's a good awareness to have. Because if you're only focusing on the ending, you're missing a great part of your own experience, which is the birthing of something. Because it's impossible to be anything but that.
Yes,
it's just a matter of shifting the perspective.
And my effort was not futile. It was fertile because this is I love this painting. So
it's
a great lesson for all of us.
Exactly, and I would just say not even a lesson, an awareness.
Right.
It's just because it's there, you know, and it's not necessarily the awareness simply helps us flow easier. So if we've been dark. Well, good things are coming to us, and not coming to us, are us. Even in our darkness, we were doing something right because it can't be any other way. Just like a radio show came out of me being, you know, scammed for $20,000, and then the next thing down the road is, and then I got, you know, I had a gentleman who I was brokering his radio show for like 2.5 years. And he basically paid me $1,000 every 3 months to do it. You know, it's like, you know, it's the wave. You just keep.
It is the wave.
Don't look at a chapter as the final. There's no final in any of this. We're eternal. You know, it's just that point, and then look at the next point. You know, one point, I lost my job. And this is going way back. I lost my job. My car got totaled. Something else happened. And then within like 6 months, I had a new job. The car being totaled paid for the stuff for the radio show, the equipment that I'm talking on now. You know, it's like just keep going. keep going. Know that it's only chapters. It's not the end of the book. And you'll see that if you're on a down play, you'll come back up. And if you're on an up play, you might go back down. I mean, and then as you start getting neutral about all of it, then you start really quantum transforming, leaping into a whole new dimension that where ego is no longer about, we're killing over it. Ego is now simply a difference of opinion. Mm. I mean, that's the next level. Unconditional love rules all. There is no technology. There is no sun in the sky. The sun is actually radiating within and illuminating within every being on the planet, including trees and blades of grass and butterflies and rocks. You know, it's like, you know, that is our next level of play here. And it's pretty dynamic if you'd ask me.
I just want you to know, for part of the show, Blackie the cat was sitting inside the big blue bowl.
Oh, nice, nice. Thank you, Blackie, for your blessings. I love it.
I'm going to take a picture of the blue bowl.
Okay, with Blackie in it, if he'll let you.
If she'll let me, I'll have to wait for that moment.
Exactly. Okay, so share where people can find you.
All right, thanks. I have two websites. One is my name, jlkimmel.com, K-I-M-M-E-L. Love to hear from people and check out my art and things. And I have a blog. And then springtreepress.com, and there's lots of fun things on there as well, and books and prints, and, you know, if anyone's even interested in the sun watercolor, you know, you can let me know. So.
Oh, is that a print? Is that available in the print?
You know,
any of my art
can be a beautiful print signed by me, and that could be fun for people to have.
Okay,
so,
awesome. Yeah, I might want that. So,
okay.
Yeah, for Scott's house. Yeah, I think I might gift myself that, or I might have him buy it for me for my birthday. Well,
happy
I'll talk to him
birthday.
About it. No, Thursday. Yes, you can do that, but Thursday. We still got one show, so birthday's not till Saturday. Oh,
I know.
I'm sorry I stopped you. Let me shut up. If you
want
to.
I wasn't going to sing the whole thing anyway.
Oh, okay. Okay, I apologize.
No.
I had a knee-jerk reaction. No! And I was like, God, Goldie, relax. I'm just sorry. I apologize for you were being very playful. Yeah, well, you were being playful, and I freaked. So
that's all right. You take your person seriously. I get it.
I do. God bless it. I'm going through that portal this year. I am 47 years old. I'm going through that portal. okay, and just so everybody knows, relatively kind of a big announcement, I'll make it on Thursday as well. Thursday night is the last show I'm doing of another reality show on once a week, 8 to 10. I'm going to continue to do interviews through another reality show, but they will be spontaneous. They will happen any time of the day or week. And the whole format's basically going to be changing to, you know, just intimate conversations about how people are experiencing the ascension, or, you know, this quantum transformation, which we're all going through. But, you know, you'll just see a different feel to it. I'm not looking to sell ascension anymore. I'm just not looking to do that. We're ascending, period. Okay, now what are we experiencing? That's what I'm looking to do. I'm looking to have conversations about that. And Janine and I still on average will be every Monday night, 8 to 10. But again, you know, stay fluid. We stay fluid. You know, it's Tuesday, 4:30 in the afternoon. So, you know, we're just going to pop in as we choose to pop in and, you know, and fly like that, because that's what works best for us. My website is anotherrealityshow.com and blogtalkradio.com/anotherrealityshow gets you to my page with both shows. So, okay, thank you for being here, Janine. You enchanting star, you. Yeah.
Thank you. It was great. It was fun.
Fun to do it in the sunlight. Yeah, right on. We might have to do more of these. Maybe we'll start plugging a few, you know, intentionally doing these.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. I love you. I love you, Janine. And until we speak
Thank
again,
you,
yeah, stay amazing and keep on flying.
All right. And all shining.
Knock on,
bye.
Everybody. And bye now.
Oh. Love you all. Gotta go.
Oh, bye.
I'm so glad we had
fun together. Started, and before you know it.